Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center doing such a fabulous job. We give him the whole week off next week. He gets to take a week off, so good for him. But we appreciate him being there right now as he is. Next up on WKOK Sunrise, movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website's aisleseat.com. I haven't looked at Aisle Seat in almost 48 hours because we were going to watch a movie Wednesday, so of course we go right there. Member of the Critics Choice Association, prolific tweeter at Aisle Seat, and his appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg. His first review today, Don't Worry, Darling.
And Don't Worry, Darling, Florence Pugh plays a 1950s housewife living in an idyllic housing community. Every morning, husband Harry Styles and the other men drive out into the desert for their top-secret work on something called Project Victory. Life seems pretty good for a while, but after making an unexpected discovery, she comes to believe that Project Victory and its enigmatic leader, Chris Pine, are up to something fishy. Well, of course they are. There wouldn't be a movie if they weren't. Don't Worry, Darling is an example of a great actress doing superior work in a movie that doesn't deserve her. Florence Pugh is outstanding as the young wife watching her whole world come crumbling down around her. She's a genuine force of nature. Not much else works. Pine doesn't have the natural authority needed to play the shady leader, and pop singer Harry Styles definitely should not quit his day job. The repetitive story leads to a big reveal about what Project Victory really is. That reveal literally left the audience in my theater laughing. To call it absurd would be an understatement. Pugh's phenomenal performance carries Don't Worry, Darling a little way, but overall, the film is muddled and unsatisfying. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2 watermelon sugars.
Oh, my God. Okay. 2 watermelon sugars, something in the movie?
In honor of the very popular Harry Styles song. It was a big hit for him like a year ago, last summer.
Yeah, Rob was shaking his head back and forth. He knew what it was. Okay, fabulous. Okay, so just 2. So they don't pull it together. They just wasn't the right vehicle for the whole film.
A movie like this works when the audience is given clue after clue after clue, and we could start to put things together on our own. This movie doesn't do that. It's just one scene after another where this woman realizes something is fishy, and then in the end, all of a sudden, they try to explain it in this great big exposition dump, and that leads to the movie just feeling repetitive. You don't really get the satisfaction of knowing what's happening or of trying to figure it out yourself because they keep everything from you. So I think that was a major misstep, that along with the miscast of Chris Pine and Harry Styles.
Okay. If they had been played by different individuals, would that revive this film, or is this film just structurally needed to be reshuffled, I guess?
It would have helped, but I think the problems were still inherent there in the plot and in the screenplay.
All right.
Those are things that wasn't going to be able to get around.
So tell me about her. You're impressed with her. Give me the lowdown on her and her future and so on.
I got to say, I'm obsessed with Florence Pugh. She is such a phenomenal actress, and she's only 26 years old. So we have just begun to see what she can do, and she's already delivered a ton of amazing work. She's an Oscar nominee for the Little Women remake a few years ago. She was in Black Widow. She was the star of the horror movie Midsommar, which is my favorite movie of the last 10 years, and she is just incredible in that. So she is one of those actresses who, at this very young age, comes across as very confident and has all these different layers to her ability. And I'm so excited to see where her career is going to take her, because she really has all the stuff to become one of our all-time great actresses, I believe.
Is she working on anything now that we'll keep an eye out for?
I'm sure she has more projects in the works. I mean, she is very, very in demand right now, as she should be.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on her. Okay, so Don't Worry, Darling. 2
watermelon sugars.
Watermelon sugars. Okay, super. Good. Is that a good song by Harry Styles?
It's not the kind of music I listen to.
Okay.
But
all right. Yeah.
It's all right.
All right. Super. Hocus Pocus 2's coming out, so tell us about that. A lot of outreach and advertising for that I'm seeing.
Yes, this debuts on Disney Plus today. Instead of the theatrical route, they decided to make this for Disney Plus. It's a sequel to the 1993 movie that cast Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, and Sarah Jessica Parker as witches, and I have to say Hocus Pocus 2 is every bit as awful as the original. The original is one of my least favorite movies ever. I just found it obnoxious and unfunny. This movie lives up to, or perhaps I should say down to that level. The problem with this movie for me, most of it is just bland, but the main problem is these three actresses, because they don't give performances. They come in and they mug at the camera and they jump around like idiots, and that's supposed to be the comedy. And then on top of it, you have this lame screenplay. Like, for example, there's a scene where the witches, they need brooms to ride, but there's only one broom that they can find when they go to the store. So one of the witches rides a Swiffer wet jet, and the other straps two Roombas to her feet. That's the level of comedy, and I'm doing air quotes around the word comedy, that you'll find in this movie. So you have these three obnoxious performances, all of this dumb humor. The original Hocus Pocus inexplicably has become a cult favorite because a generation of kids grew up with it, and people to this day have nostalgia for that movie because they loved it as kids. I don't get it. I think the first one's terrible. Hocus Pocus 2 is just as bad, so one star for that. It's terrible.
Well, even the trailer's disjunctive. I mean, I only watched about three quarters of the trailer. I couldn't get through it because they were kind of all over the place with traumatic scenes of kids pouting and so on, and then back to the, you know, the little bits of comedy that looked okay in the trailer. So, well, since this is as bad as the first one, is it likely that this will be a cult favorite in the future?
I mean, it might. People who love the original and grew up with it are very excited for this one, so who knows? They may like it, and if they like it, fine. You know, I don't begrudge anybody what they like, but boy, is this ever not for me.
All right, it's being heavily advertised, too. Barbarian is out now. Oh, wait, where is Don't Worry, Darling?
In theaters.
Okay, and Hocus Pocus is in theaters.
Hocus Pocus 2 is on Disney Plus starting today.
Oh, I got you. Okay, just Disney Plus. Yeah, you probably said that. Okay. Barbarian, where is it?
In theaters. And finally, we can talk about a good movie, although ironically, I can't talk about it much because I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
But the movie starts with a young woman who rents an Airbnb, and she gets there, and it turns out that there's already a guy there. They've both rented it at the same time. He says, come on in, we'll figure this out. Long story short, there's a room in the basement, a hidden door. And the woman ends up going through that door, and you are not prepared for what happens after she goes through that door. This is one of the creepiest, most demented horror movies I've ever seen, and I can't believe it comes from a major studio. This is a 20th Century Studios production. They're owned by Disney. Disney is releasing this crazy, deranged movie. But what happens in it, like I said, you're not prepared for it. You can't predict it. It's eerie. It's creepy. There's a scene with a baby bottle that's one of the freakiest things I've ever seen in a movie. So I really, really loved Barbarian. If you want something scary and unpredictable this Halloween season, this is the one to go see. 3.5 stars
Barbarian,
for that one.
Yeah. And it's in theaters.
It's in theaters.
All right. Okay. Well, I saw the trailer on that one, too. You didn't give anything away, I don't think, because the trailer shows, you know, this door that she goes through, so that much is kind of in plain sight as we talk about the film. But nothing really scary after that or sort of anything revealing, so you wouldn't know what's going
on. They kind of stop at her going into the door and don't show anything that happens after that, which is a good marketing choice.
And we talked a little bit about Blonde last week. Now it's officially out.
Mm-hmm.
How is that?
Blonde on Netflix now. This is a nearly three-hour movie about Marilyn Monroe. Ana de Armas plays her, and she's fantastic. And this is kind of similar to Don't Worry, Darling. You have a great actress giving a phenomenal performance in a movie that really does not deserve her attention. My problem with this movie, Marilyn Monroe's life has been picked apart endlessly in biographies and movies and TV shows, and here it does it again. And this movie really lingers on every bad thing that happened to her. Sexual assault, abortions, failed marriages, drug dependency, and it wallows in all of those things. And I feel for no real purpose. It doesn't give us any actual insight into Marilyn Monroe.
Sure, nothing new.
Right. So it's a beautiful looking film. The way they photographed is incredible. Ana de Armas is outstanding. She could be an awards contender. So I like the movie on an aesthetic level. I loathe it on a moral level. So 2.5 stars for Blonde. It has good qualities I can't ignore, but I can't quite say that this is something that you need to see.
Okay, so on to some entertainment news. Mm-hmm. You were were talking this week about Coolio. Of course, the rapper died very young. Do we know why he died? I'm afraid I didn't even pick that up.
No, no cause of death yet. Coolio did die at the age of 59. TMZ first reported the news, and then Coolio's manager confirmed it. And apparently, the rapper went to the bathroom during a visit with a friend, and the friend eventually found Coolio laying on the floor when he didn't return in the average amount of time. So the speculation is that perhaps he had a heart attack, but there's no official confirmation on that yet.
Okay, but the film industry knew all about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his biggest hit was Gangsta's Paradise from the movie Dangerous Minds back in, I believe that was 94 or 95. And really, that song helped make the movie a hit. It was a good movie. It had Michelle Pfeiffer, you may remember, going into an inner city school and being a teacher. But that song was used in the marketing of the film, and it was a huge hit, and just really helped to drive the interest of that movie. So he definitely had some influence in Hollywood. He made some minor acting appearances here and there, mostly in low-budget movies, not really anything anybody had seen. But he was kind of a multi-talented guy.
What was the appeal of Gangster's Paradise?
It was just catchy. I think that was one of those songs that even if you don't like rap music, you probably like that one. Mm-hmm. It was mainstream. It was accessible. It was catchy. But at the same time, it still had the kind of lyrical depth and dealing with social issues that you do get in some of the best rap.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, I would have never put him those two together. I certainly have heard of him, and I've certainly heard the song. But, yeah, tough that he's gone. Never really achieved sort of triple global fame the way some rappers do after a big hit the first time, though.
Yeah, I mean, his career really was hot in the 90s, and then, as is the case with music, the styles changed. What was popular in rap changed, and what he was doing kind of fell out of favor a little bit. But the songs he did during that era are great, and they remain, you know, very pleasant to listen to and very catchy and danceable if you like to dance.
Right, danceable. That's the thing. You'll hear him at weddings, so
right.
Get ready for that. All right. Well, thank you so much, Movie Mike McGranahan. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Movie Mike McGranahan, of course, his review of Don't Worry, Darling, to Sugar.
Watermelon Sugars.
Thank you. Watermelon Sugar. Sorry about that. And we invite you to do what I've done. Go to at Aisle Seat on Twitter and follow him. His appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg, campustheater.org.